Do not let your heart be troubled. But in truth, they had a lot that was troubling their hearts that night. It is the night Jesus will be betrayed. And they don't know everything yet, but you can feel it when things aren't right in the room. You can feel it when the night is thick. And Jesus had already done a strange thing, kneeling like a servant to wash their feet. And he was saying things that sounded ominous. This bread is my body. This wine is my blood. Judas had already left the room. You will not see me any more soon, he said. So love one another. Their hearts were troubled indeed. Theirs aren't the only ones, and that night is not the only night. We, too, are troubled by things, hard things, sad things. Like St. Paul, we can be troubled about ourselves. Why do I do what I don't want to do? I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. It's a cry of confession of a troubled heart. Oh, wretched person I am, who will save me from myself? We're also troubled by the state of the world. It seems these days that the dopamine shot that gets the world going each day is a toxic brew of anger and fear and anxiety about the world and what it's to become. And there are very real things to be worried about and very real people who are suffering. How does outrage ever end when there's a fire hydrant of troubles blasting out into the airways every day? What are we to do? What's the option? Not be troubled and retreat into a shell that avoids seeing the sufferings of others and problems of the world? Or be consumed by sorrow and anger? Some days can stretch a person from one psychological extreme to the other. Do not let your heart be troubled. It seems impossible and potentially unloving, uncompassionate. For his part, Jesus is said to be troubled three times before this moment. Three times this word is used of him, all in the last few chapters. He's described as troubled in the loss of loved ones. His soul is troubled in the face of his own death. His spirit is troubled in the face of evil. So Jesus himself is troubled in compassion, in sorrow, and in anger. What sense does it make for him to command his friends not once but twice to not let their hearts be troubled when he has been troubled recently? Is this do as I say, not as I do? I don't think so. Let us not miss that in this moment of travail, Jesus, who is the one facing death, is seeking not to be comforted, but to comfort. I think it's a sure sign that he understands what it feels like to be in the human condition. As one who's fully human, he has experienced sorrow and fear and anger. He knows. At its heart, this must be a tremendous comfort. Jesus knows. He may not in his life have experienced the exact same circumstance that weighs on you, but he knows how it feels. And this is worth meditating upon. This intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ with the sorrows and depths of human life, including our own. This is at the core of Christian faith. God is not a deity distant and uncaring. God is near. God is here. God is with you. It means we're never alone in our troubles. But he is with us in this world of travail. He has overcome the world. We say this often in our worship, the Lord is with you. and we affirm, and also with you. And we need to hear those words. By God's grace, we feel that comfort when we reach out in our sorrows or loneliness or fear. There comes a consolation from beyond the circumstance that helps us keep going one more day and keep the faith one more time. The disciples would surely need this in the days following the cross and the resurrection. And we each need it now. And we all do. For centuries, Christians who have prayed the daily office begin their day with the prayer, the very first words of the prayer, O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. I've been doing this for several years now. The first words of the first prayer of the morning, and I find it to be so meaningful. O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. And there are days when that prayer stays with me in the day that's unfolding in front of me. God, come to my assistance in this thing. Come and help me in this thing. But just as often, the prayer radiates out from there to my family. Oh God, help us in this thing. Come to our assistance in this thing. And even just as often, it goes beyond us, way beyond us, to places I've never been, to people I've never met and will never meet. Oh God, come to their assistance. Come today to be with them. We can begin each day with a confession of dependence upon the Lord. Trust that He hears our prayers and patient or even impatient invocation for God to come and help all who are in need. We need your help. We know you will be here when I'm falling in the pit, when I'm walking in the dark, when I've clenched my fists, oh God, come. And Jesus says, I will come. Call upon me as you bear my name, as you bear the troubles of the world. If we're never stirred up by our own failures or by the suffering of others or the injustices in the world, either we aren't paying attention, or we're insulated and callous, or we're so self-absorbed that we cease to care. And what Jesus offers is not a theology of callous hearts to those whose lives are fine if everyone else would stop being such a bother, but rather to come and trust to the one who is with us and with all who suffer. And the grammar of the encouragement in John 14 is a key. Your is plural and heart is singular. Do not let your collective heart be troubled. And the shared heart of a community of Christians is a word that we are not alone in this way. We are not alone in seeking truth. We are not alone in this life. We share the burdens and the fears. It can feel like you're all alone, but you have more in common with those around you than you might think or fear. Yesterday, for an hour or so, about 30 of us carried furniture and books and whatnot from a storage unit into a storage container. We had to move everything from one to another. In a few months, we'll need even more hands to move everything from the storage container to their rooms in the new building. But likewise, every day, we carry one another in big and small ways, in practical assistance, in words of encouragement, or in our prayers. And as we share life and carry one another's burdens, that morning prayer, O God, come to my assistance, becomes the daily prayer. O God, come to their assistance. Help them in their hour of need. Yesterday, as we were moving, I tried to avoid doing any hard work, you know, preachers. But I happened to be carrying a statue. It was the lightest thing I could find, I promise. I happened to be carrying a little statue, and I was trying to find a place for it that would be safe, it wouldn't get knocked around. And so I put it in the back of a pickup truck. And quickly as I did, I was quizzed, "Are we getting rid of that?" I said, "No, I don't think so." And I was informed, "Well, that truck is for things that we're getting rid of." Oh, my mistake. I reached back in to get it, and only then I realized that it was a statue of Jesus carrying a little lamb. So I was carrying Jesus, carrying a lamb, and almost threw them both away. And herein is the lesson. Don't throw away Jesus. Don't throw away Jesus. He's carrying some little lambs who need him today. And in truth, he's carrying you. He offers to all the little lambs. Times will be hard. The world will be trouble. There will be pain. But you are not alone. I am with you in your suffering, in failures, in sorrow. When you strive for the better way and you fall on your face, when you enter the struggle for a better world and feel helpless and hopeless about it all, I am with you. I am carrying you. Do not lose heart. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. To believe is to trust in one who is trustworthy. Martin Luther asked, "What does it mean to have a God?" And the answer he gave, "God is where you hang your heart." God is where you hang your heart. When the world is falling apart, when you've lost your way, when you can't find truth amidst the falsehoods and the wrong turns, when your life feels fruitless, God is where you hang your heart. Believe in God. Believe also in me. The word there, pisteo, comes to the English language sometimes as trust and sometimes as believe. And in reality, it's at that intersection, that meeting place between belief and trust. And it shows up all through the New Testament. A few times in Matthew and Mark and Luke, more in Paul's writing and beyond. In the Gospel of John, the word believe, trust, shows up 100 times. From chapter 1, when God gives the right to believe, to become children of God, until the very end, "I've written all of this that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. By trusting you may have life in his name." Believe 100 times, and never more poignantly than right here on the night when he was betrayed and their hearts were troubled. Because it's here where the rubber of faith meets the broken road of life. To believe when all is well, well, that's good. To believe, to trust God, to hang your heart on him no matter what. That's what saints are made of. So look upon him and trust him with all that you are and all that you are not. With all that you carry and with all you can't carry any longer. With all whom you love and with those you struggle not to hate. With all that you do and all that is left undone. With all that you hope for and all that you despair of. With all that you are proud of, the trophies on your case, and all that you're ashamed of and wish weren't true about you. With all the blessings poured out upon you and all the sorrows and scars you bear, believe and trust him for all that you've lived until this day, and trust him again for all that is within you and in front of you on this day and all the days of your life. For the Lord is with you. He carries you. Amen.